Happy Friday, Plant City. I'm Justin Klein, she's Brianne Williams, and you're tuned in to the 6 Feet Apart cast. The Plant City Observer is bringing you the latest in all things COVID-19 around our area week after week. We've got the facts, we've got tips, we've got tricks, we've got takes, we've got uplifting stories, and hopefully we've got your attention. So I think we all know by now that no 2 days are ever the same with this novel coronavirus. In our experience, we've written stories on a Monday that are either completely rewritten or completely scrapped by Wednesday because things happen and policies change directions on a dime. This whole thing feels like trying to guard Kyrie Irving in an NBA game. But we're bringing you this podcast every Friday to keep you all up to speed on what's happened every week with a lower risk of the info aging badly in, like, one day. On that note, Bree, what's going on in Plant City and Hillsborough right now? I know there was the EPG meeting on Thursday, and sounds like that was a whole thing and a half.
Right. So the emergency policy group, at this point, they're meeting twice a week, every Monday and every Thursday at 1:30 p.m. So on Thursday when they met, they just kicked it off with a bang. They had Dr. Douglas Holt, who is the director of the Florida Department of Health in Hillsborough County, come on out the gate, and he kind of updated us all on where we're at and what's evolved over the past few days. As of Thursday morning, Hillsborough County had 372 confirmed cases, 30 of which were people 65 and over, 46 of which were ages 55 to 64. But one of the most important pieces of information to come from his report was that at this rate, Hillsborough County is doubling every 6 days. So that's a little less than some other counties in the state that are being impacted, but it is a very significant number. Just to put it in perspective, a week ago, Holt said Hillsborough County was averaging 15 confirmed cases a day, and now we are up to 30. And it's important to keep in mind we have had more access to test kits over the past week, so that probably has played a role in the numbers, but we're also not seeing the numbers come back as quickly as we would like. So this is a rough estimate of where we are, and that can evolve and change at any point in time as more data comes in. His most concerning point, however, I think came next. He said that the more information we're getting from other countries and experiences and science, this is a direct quote now, COVID-19 is clearly demonstrating it is much more insidious and contagious transmission prior to illness or in very mild cases. Is clearly documented, and there may be some degree of what we call aerosolization, which is more distance type of thing that could be beyond the 6 foot range. So that's the end of the quote. And that's something that our scientists and our doctors have feared. It's something we all hoped would not be the case here. And I would like to remind everyone listening that the key word in Holt's quote is could be. At this point, we really aren't 100% sure, but that changes a lot, and you need to keep in mind when you're out in public what's being said, that 6 feet is a great place to start. It won't hurt you by being safer, though. If this thing is spreadable via air, you know, the air, that's something to keep in mind when you're standing in public and you're trying to stay 6 feet away from someone else. The reality is that might not be enough, and that is a dark thought, but it's one that even if it ends up being not true, it can't hurt us to at least recognize is out there. Dr. Holt also took a moment to announce that they've been having discussions with a lot of our major hospitals in the area regarding surge plans in the event of a worst case scenario coming to play. As we know, the county, and I think this was announced on Monday, the county struck two deals with two different hotels to get about 360 beds to house patients that need to quarantine away from their family or other people. We also have an agreement with the Yingling Center, which those of you who don't recognize the name, that is the USF Sun Dome. Go Bulls.
It is always going to be the Sun Dome to me. I just want to throw that out there.
Same here. I haven't quite wrapped my head around the new name yet, but they have an agreement with them to, if hospitals are overrun, the Yingling Center can house another about 250 patients. So that the Florida Department of Health will be the ones obviously managing all of that and reserving those rooms for whoever qualifies. But it's good to know that we're working on a backup plan for the the case that things could go south. Just kind of skipping some of the other stuff that happened. Ray J, as I'm sure most of y'all know now, is a drive-through testing facility. We had it open last week. It filled up. We filled up 900 test spots in not even 48 hours, if I remember correctly. And that is not just 900 people calling. That is 900 people that the healthcare professionals on the other side of the phone were like, yeah, you fit enough of the symptoms that we think there's a chance you might have COVID-19. Come on down at this day and this time. And so they came. This week, we had another 1,000 kits. So we set it up on Wednesday. It opened officially. And the plan was to remain open until Friday. But then yesterday, during yesterday's meeting, they announced that we got another 1,000 test kits. So that was a pleasant surprise. That put us at about 2,000. So they're going to open the facility again Monday to Wednesday or until supplies last. Once they book up all the appointments, they book up all the appointments and there's nothing else they can do about it. And you may hear the word, 2,000 and think that's a large number of test kits, but just to put it in perspective, on Thursday at the time of the meeting, which was 1:30 p.m., there were 413 appointments scheduled. So that was for Thursday. They're going fast. Our need is a lot higher than we have the supply to meet. And so if you feel like you have symptoms of COVID-19 and you're hoping to get tested and get an appointment at Ray J, you can't just show up. You have to have the appointment. So call 813-272-5900 and a healthcare professional will walk you through your symptoms and determine whether or not you meet their criteria. The biggest part though, I think, of that meeting yesterday with the EPG was the discussion of Governor Ron DeSantis's safer at home order that he put into place. He announced on Wednesday he was finally going to semi-shut the state down, if you will, and he has it going into effect. Well, it went into effect Thursday night at midnight, so at 12:01 this morning, if you think about time in that fashion, it's technically in effect now. And then another order came out from the governor's office that technically said this order supersedes any local government's orders or directives they have in place. So basically, the state is the umbrella and everyone else has to fall in underneath it. They can't alter what he said is the rule for Florida. So our county attorney was going step by step through what the differences were and where we were the same. As a general rule, not much has changed for us here in Hillsborough County. He said you can leave your house for essential businesses and essential activities. So you got to go get food, go get food. You want to go on a bike ride, go on a bike ride. You want to go to one of the park, the walking trails that are open here in Plant City. You can. That's completely allowed. The 10 people or under order is still in place for any little gathering you do attend to. They're still encouraging the 6-foot distancing wherever you can. However, there is really one big difference between what we had in place and what DeSantis has in place. And this is largely up for interpretation at this point. So until the governor clarifies it, we don't really have a choice but to err on the side of caution with the wording of the rule. Governor DeSantis has decided that religious services qualify as an essential activity. And from the back and forth between our county attorney and many members of the EPG group, the evidence is that the wording is so vague in the way it's written that we don't know what that means. So, like I said, they have to kind of let this roll until he qualifies. What that means is technically any church, any mosque, any temple, any religious institution can throw open its doors, flood all of its pews, and not have to practice social distancing. So they don't have to have their congregation sit 6 feet apart. So ruminate on that. Let's take a second just to go back over what I've been saying for the past few minutes. We learned yesterday that Hillsborough County is doubling its confirmed infection rates every 6 days. Evidence is suggesting COVID-19 may be aerosolized, which means that 6 feet apart rule might not even cut it. We're preparing our hospitals to be overrun because so many people are expected to have this in a very short period of time. So we're prepping surge plans. We've rented out entire hotels to put people in when the hospitals fill up. And yet our governor is going to let hundreds, and in some cases, like the mega churches we have in the county, specifically over near Tampa, thousands of people cram in like sardines at least once a week, even though that's obviously not safe. And I am not here to get into a debate on whether or not religious freedom allows you to do this. That is not what this is about. This is just about safety. And everyone on the EPG members, many of whom, might I just for the record say, are avid churchgoers, they were not pleased to hear that this had not been clarified. So County Commissioner Sandra Merman eventually made a motion for the county to release a strongly suggested guideline for any religious institution. They want to send it out to any church, any mosque, any temple they have to say, we would like you to follow these rules, but they're really not rules, they're guidelines. So until Governor DeSantis clarifies his stance, all we can give is guidance and ask people to be safe. And there's a lot you can say about that, but I think Les Miller Jr., who's the chairman of the EPG, I think he said it best, and this is a direct quote from him Thursday afternoon. He said, I hope that wasn't the intent also, but I do hope if we get no more clarification from the governor's office, these religious institutions, if they're going to open their doors for service, use the best possible judgments they can in saying stay 6 feet apart. Please stay 6 feet apart, because as you've said, that's the only thing we can see that will flatten that curve. But from what I'm seeing here now, that curve in Hillsborough County and in this state is not going to be flattened anytime soon. That's the end of the quote. So there's your update. And if you want to stay even more up to date, the Florida Department of Health, they're releasing new data every day, sometimes multiple times a day. So you can go over to their website and look at an interactive map and see how many people have been confirmed for the state, the county, and then broken up by city as well.
It's also entirely possible, just to piggyback back to the church thing, that by the time this podcast comes out, well, they could have already clarified it, you know, in the morning before we posted, or they could do it about an hour from when this posted, or, you know, the way things are going, it could be like 5 days, and then, you know, this will be still relevant until like Tuesday, Wednesday, and then he'll say, right as we're about to go to press, oh yeah, actually, here's some clarification on the church thing. So we have really no idea where this is going to go, what's going to happen. So this could change. Keep an eye out. But like Brianne said, and like the EPG members are suggesting, use your best judgment on that one.
Yeah. And I think our pastors will as well. Just because they can't open, I'm not sure they will. A lot of the pastors I've spoken to around town, they care about their congregation. They want their congregation to be safe, and they are coming up with new and creative ways to minister to them, whether it's the drive-through churches we've kind of been seeing, or streaming, or having online conferences. There have been really awesome things to come from this in our religious circles, at least here in Plant City, that I've seen. So I hope that that level of caution will continue. But technically, until this is clarified, it does not have to.
Well, we're going to move on now and get the talk of the town. We went on Facebook earlier this week and asked y'all how you felt about the state's response to COVID-19. Of course, that was posted before Governor DeSantis decided to say we're all going to do our stay-at-home thing. But a lot of you, a whole lot of you, felt even back then before it happened that he was still way too late. So even though it happened now, I guess on one hand, better late than never. On the other hand, it was kind of late. We got a really big response to that. A lot of you had a lot of interesting things to say. You had valid points to make, or at the very least, you made some comments that we really wanted to talk about on here. So I'm going to read a few of these. Brianne and I are going to comment on them as we see fit. And I apologize in advance if I mispronounce anybody's name. For the most part, we have some pretty self-explanatory ones on here, but there's a couple I'm not quite sure about. And well, as someone who gets tongue-tied a lot, I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm not the best at the whole pronunciation thing. Anyway, we will start with somebody who has a very easy name. Lindsay Fleming said, I'm not only upset with the state, but I'm also upset with the city of Plant City. There are cases in Plant City showing up on an interactive map. Why hasn't our city made any announcements? We need a count of how many are infected in our city. Bree, since you just mentioned the interactive map a few seconds ago, I wanted to start there since that's fresh in your mind. So I think you got some insight into this one.
Yeah, as much as I can. The interactive map that she's referring to is from the Florida Department of Health, and it is indicating there are 4 positive cases in Plant City. What that means isn't that 4 people were in Plant City and got tested. It means that 4 people that have tested positive, when they asked where do you live, they gave their zip code as a Plant City zip code. So are they here? Maybe. Are they not? We can't confirm that. So we four confirmed, and confirmed is the key word because that number could go up at any moment. And there might be people at home with minor symptoms that haven't had to be hospitalized and haven't been tested. As for the response aspect of it, there hasn't been a direct response, and she's correct. There has been a lot of talk of caution, a lot of talk of services and what's available and what's not. The city of Plant City has a website, and on that website they have a COVID-19 update page where they're updating it very frequently on what is changing and what people need to know. They even have a link to the map on there if you want to go check it out there. But as for an actual conversation about what the city is doing about the people infected within it, we haven't heard that. I hope we do soon, especially the way things are going. If the data indicates anything, is that this is just the beginning and there's more to come.
We've heard a lot of rumors about how many people have it here, who got it, where they got it at, what businesses they went to with the virus. Heard about businesses that have closed because somebody had the virus near them. They got a little bit worried. It's really hard to confirm all this. It's just hearsay. We don't want to get too much into that, so we're just going to go with what we know. And what we know is that those 4 people who gave Plain City zip codes were confirmed to have it. So whenever that number changes, which it likely will at this rate, we'll just keep going with that. But for now, I would say don't put too much stock into the gossip, though some of it may be rooted in truth, like all things. Just plenty of resources available to you, like the Department of Health's interactive map. Just make sure you're checking all your facts and stuff before you just run with something somebody told you because they heard it from somebody else. Anyway, let's move on to another comment. This one comes from, I hope I pronounced your name right, Amy Hutchla, who said, "The state should have been shut down a week ago at least. Just because there aren't confirmed cases doesn't mean there aren't cases. It just means they haven't been tested. They may be doing the best they can with what they have, but that's never been an acceptable excuse in school. So why is it acceptable for adults?" Sick burn. All right. There were a few positive comments. I mean, overwhelmingly negative, but a few positive comments. Here's one of them from Ron Rogers, who said, "I believe our government leaders at all levels are doing the best they can. This pandemic, like all disasters, relies on us to do our part. Unlike most natural disasters, this one requires patience in order to see the benefits of proper actions. We all need to continue to follow the official guidance and be patient. Together, we can get through this." Okay. Ashley Gerasi, hope that's right. Again, sorry in advance, said, "I think our governor has really dropped the ball in taking this serious from the get-go, causing us a late start in the safety game. However, I think that he did right by us by not allowing those ships to dock in FLL and spread more illness to the state. I think each mayor should try to push DeSantis to do something better for their cities." So a little bit of both right there. Okay, Linda Pittinger Beavis said, "Thankful that they are doing what they are. It's a situation none of them really know about, and I think they are doing their best with whatever comes next and trying to keep everything going without collapsing." And to wrap things up, in the complete opposite direction, Lori Libhart said, "DeSantis has been very weak in his response and seems to continue to lack urgency and critical understanding." Well, I gotta say, he was pretty late with his response compared to a lot of other governors in the country. And then we still have like the church thing that hasn't been made totally clear. So now that's a very big thing to leave a very big interpretation open for. So that's a sentiment that a lot of people have right now, Lori's, and there's definitely some validity there, in my opinion. All right, let's switch gears. You may not know this, and you may not believe me when I say this, but Brianne and I are introverts. We know exactly how to get the most out of staying cooped up indoors because 90% of the time, this is what we like to do in our free time anyway. So who better to get advice from than two people who already look like they haven't been in the sunlight in 10 years? We're calling this the Introvert's Guide to Self-Isolation. So we just want to share with you some things we've been doing while we're cooped up inside to stay sane and keep from going too stir crazy and making the news for all the wrong reasons. Anyway, I'll go first. Like a lot of you, I just watched Tiger King not too long ago. I'm not really a big hyperbole guy myself, but I will say that everyone who has said this show is the craziest thing that's probably ever been put to film is onto something. Everything everybody said about the show was true. It lived up to every expectation I had. It is just as crazy as they say. It's definitely not for kids, so all you cool cats and kittens out there who have little ones might want to watch this after they put them to bed. There's 7 episodes. They're all about 40-something minutes long, and they do not disappoint. All those memes are on point. Brianne, have you watched it yet? I've been sending you a ton of memes. I don't know if you've understood them all, but I thought they were funny, so I had to share.
No, not yet. I'm one of those people that has a bunch of other people on my Netflix. So if I see someone else is watching it, I won't start it. And I have not had a single moment where someone was not watching it that uses my Netflix. So it's definitely on my up next list. So I've just been over on HBO, actually, kind of scooting around there. The memes, though, might I add, even though I have very little context, are some of the funniest stuff I've ever seen. And I love it when you send them over.
They're only going to get better when you finally watch the show and we can talk about this. Speaking of talking about this, this thing's gotten so big, HCSO has rekindled interest in the cold case of the Don Lewis disappearance. This show pretty heavily suggests that Carol Baskin might have had something to do with it. I don't want to get too heavy into my thoughts or anything. I'm not trying to catch a lawsuit. But yeah, it is one of the more interesting parts of the show, I think, when it dives into that cold case, the disappearance, all the mysterious circumstances surrounding it. So if you like true crime, podcasts, TV shows, whatever, if you're into like Law and Order, Criminal Minds or whatever, then this definitely has something for you besides the whole buildup of how Joe Exotic ended up getting arrested for trying to put a hit on Carol Baskin for essentially ruining his lifestyle and his livelihood and his income, all that stuff. Very wild show. Another thing, so it's getting pretty difficult to go to a concert these days, and by that I mean you're going to have to just be in your living room, and maybe if you have like cats or something, they'll watch you play guitar for a little bit and then just get sick of you because you're just annoying the heck out of them. But if you really want to see some live music and support somebody local, I highly recommend Casey Stidham. Every Sunday on Facebook, Stiddy goes live, does an acoustic set, he takes requests, there is a virtual tip jar, it's good stuff. You know, last week he was playing some Garth Brooks, he was playing some Outkast, he was playing some Spice Girls, just a really good mix. There's something for everybody on that show. Stiddy does a great job, so I highly recommend going to check out his Facebook every Sunday. Past few weeks he's been doing it. It started at 8 o'clock in the evening, so it's a nice little way to wind down and end your Sunday night on a fun note. And lastly, this probably just goes for me. Well, Brianne and I both play video games. We're pretty deep into it right now. She has been playing through Red Dead Redemption 2, which I beat a while ago. It's been quite a ride. I have been playing a lot more Madden 20 lately, Call of Duty Warzone since that came out. By far my favorite and the only Battle Royale game I like. And Rocket League, an old favorite. You can kill a whole lot of time on the Xbox if you want, and or the PS4 if you have that. I'm an Xbox guy myself. Microsoft's Game Pass is, well, sometimes you can get it for as low as $1 a month, sometimes $10, depending on what kind of deals they have, but there's always something going on. This gives you a huge library of 100-something games to just download whenever you want, and you can play something new every day if you really wanted to. Maybe every 2 days if your internet speed's not that great, because some of these downloads are pretty big. But this is definitely a great time to pick up the sticks if you haven't already. I know a lot of people who are buying Nintendo Switches right now just for the Animal Crossing game that came out. I haven't hopped in that bandwagon yet, but this is just like all my friends are talking about it now, even if they didn't have a Switch. they're going out and they're buying them and they're playing Animal Crossing, and I'm hearing about this. So I'm just wondering, I can tell you now, okay, I'm not going to buy a Switch anytime soon. I've never played an Animal Crossing, but for all I know, things could change with me next week as quickly as all the coronavirus stuff has. And by next week, I'll be sitting there in Animal Crossing on Switch talking to you all about that. Who knows? I don't. But yeah, video games, definitely a hot commodity right now. Don't be afraid to pick up the sticks, even if you typically are video game averse. Good way to kill time. Bree, what about you? What have you been doing to keep from getting a little too stir crazy?
Yeah, I mean, I think you and I are still working a lot, so it hasn't fully hit either of us yet. But anyone that knows me knows that I don't really sleep very often or very well. So if it's 3 o'clock in the morning, I am usually awake doing something. So that's when I've been doing a lot of my entertainment binging, if you will. I rewatched all of Veep recently on HBO. Westworld came back just a few weeks ago, so I rewatched the first two seasons of Westworld and am really, really enjoying season three. If you like one of the most complicated and interesting and brilliant plots of our generation, then you need to go to Westworld, because that is, it's not for kids. Specifying, very violent, but super great. But one thing that I have done is my friends are, as Justin said, we're introverts, but introverts tend to have more extroverted friends. And my extroverted friends have not been handling this all that well. So we have had to have pretty routine FaceTime or Skype meetings. We'll pull something up we're both watching, throw it on the background, get on video and hang out, have a glass of wine, talk, eat dinner. It's great because in a way I'm seeing some friends more now than I had been prior to this, because they're going stir crazy, stuck in their home, and this is a way for us to kind of, you know, reconnect and make sure that we're still socializing while we're being safe. I really recommend that if you have really been feeling it, feeling the isolation. FaceTime is awesome, and you can rekindle old friendships that maybe are slipping a little bit. I'm a creature of comfort, though, so I tend to rewatch or reread or do things that I've done before kind of when I get stressed out. My neighbors, however, are not necessarily the same. A lot of them, I live in an apartment complex that I never realized had thin walls before, but now it is becoming abundantly clear. One of my neighbors, I guess they have decided that the best way to get through this is to turn to sound therapy, sound healing. So they've purchased one of those Himalayan singing bowl things that you use a lot in meditation and yoga. They've got a gong, a rainmaker, the singing bowl, it's the whole setup, and they are doing sound healing to combat their stress. It's really been an experience for everyone in the building. We're probably about a week and a half in now, and when they started, it was rough for all of us, but the good news is they are getting better. I don't know if they've drastically improved or if my bar has really lowered, but I'm kind of actually starting to enjoy it. I wish it maybe wouldn't happen at 6 a.m., but, you know, there are worse ways to wake up. And if it's helping them, then that's all that really matters, right?
What? What? Oh, sound healing. Okay. You know, no shade to you. If you want to, you know, if that floats your boat, you do you. Makes you feel good. All for it, but do the people who drive behind my house at 2 a.m, bumping some Young Jeezy, that new album with the bass all the way up in their car, does that count? Because I can hear that. It's got that nice bassy thing, and it's kind of soothing if you like hip hop like I do. Does that count?
I mean, you know, sound therapy is a practice using vibrations to relax your mind and body, so I can't say that the answer is no to that, Justin. It kind of.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of weird, though, because the second they started doing it, I mean, not even 48 hours later, I'm on Instagram and all the celebrities are going live right now and doing a bunch of concerts or just chatting or cooking or whatever. And I follow probably four off the top of my head, four celebrities that are doing sound healing in their homes and like are doing it live over Instagram for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour. So I don't know if that's just everyone's new cup of tea, but it's interesting, it's unique, it's pretty cool. So if you're interested in learning more about it, YouTube has some really great videos. Yeah. So my neighbor got in maybe ahead of the game. Maybe they're the trendsetter here in Plant City. Who knows? Hmm.
I do like this idea for the celebrities better than when they all got together to sing Imagine. That just, ugh.
That was a hot mess. Yeah.
That was, anyway, we want to end this podcast on a high note every week because this virus sucks and it's really easy for you and for us to get sucked into a joyless void following such a grim news cycle every day. So let's stay positive out here. Like our old friend, Mr. Rogers, the one from TV, used to say, you got to look for the helpers. So that's what we've called this recurring segment of the podcast. This is going to be a really important part of it. And before we get started, I'd like to ask all of you out there to keep us in the loop. If you know of anybody in town who's going out of their way to make a positive impact on the community right now, whether it's big or small, we all need something to smile about these days. So we want to highlight the stuff as much as possible in the podcast. So let's talk about some good stuff that we saw or covered this week. Bree, you're up first. What made your heart sing?
The one good thing that has come out of all of this is I think we're seeing it across the country, but especially here in Plant City, where our character as a community is really what sets us apart from so many other places. And I have talked to people that have lived there their entire lives. They're like sixth generation Plant Cityan, and I've talked to people that moved here 2 months ago, and the one thing they all say that they love the most about this town is its strong sense of community. And we see that, and we're seeing it a lot right now. The other day I got an email from Wish Farms. We get a bunch of negative emails all day long. We get a bunch of stressful emails all day long. So when this one came across, it really literally turned my whole day around. But Wish Farms, which you guys know grows the strawberries, a bunch of strawberries here in Plant City, they decided to donate to a bunch of local food banks. They are donating 220,000 pounds of fresh strawberries, which is the equivalent of 241 pallets. We're talking 9 semi trucks to Feeding Tampa Bay, the United Food Bank of Plant City, and a few other organizations. And they talked to Mary Hasek, who is the director of the United Food Bank of Plant City, and her quote was, "The need is urgent. We have seen double the amount of people we normally see since the crisis began. With stores having a hard time keeping shelves stocked, our organization's usual supply chain has been severely interrupted." That's something that we've been fully aware of. Justin wrote an awesome article about it. I think it was last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, last week.
Yeah, I mean, their shelves are empty, and they are working around the clock to get them filled. And what people sometimes don't think about is it sucks that we're all home and can't go out and can't spend time with people that we love. But if you can walk into your kitchen and open your pantry door and have food in there, you are a lot better off than, unfortunately, many families in our community. And the United Food Bank is literally the only thing standing between families here and hunger. And whether they're single moms or families that are working around the clock, but now they have kids home all day and the kids used to eat at school, and so now they're having to provide more food than they ever had to before. You know, it's really hurting a lot of people right now. So if you can give, whether it's a monetary donation or if you have extra, you know, supplies and want to give it to the food bank, I would really recommend you do it. They're there, they're working, so you can give them a call, message them on Facebook probably, and help them out. Let's keep it going, right? Pay it forward.
Right on. Well, in my case, I'm going to go with something I wrote about this week. So Raider TV, I had a lot of fun talking to those kids and Mr. Hamilton last Friday, and I wrote the story up this week. Those of you who haven't read it yet, Plant City High School's TV production class has been keeping their morning show going 5 days a week, despite the fact that everybody has to work remotely now and film from their own homes or yards or whatever, or stay 6 feet or more apart from each other. What they told me was they wanted to maintain a sense of normalcy so that all the students and the staff, faculty, all them, they can still go to YouTube Monday through Friday, watch a video, they can get important updates. Things like the grab and go program that all the schools are doing around town. Now there's updates on that, for example. There's a lot of uplifting messages on there, stuff to promote positive thinking, good mental health stuff, just to get through this stressful time we're all living in. And there's also, I'm using their words, not mine, these really stupid, sweet skits. Some of them are really funny, actually. So definitely something for everybody in this show, worth checking out. You can go to their YouTube channel. I wrote a little bit more about this and how you can access it, watch all their stuff in my story, which is on page 3 this week, or it's on PlantCityObserver.com. You can go there as well. Check it out, grab a copy, and support your local high school morning show. Also, shout out to the LaCroix boys.
Yeah, I think that that kind of is something, though, that you mentioned a little bit before. We want to stay plugged in and we want to hear your comments. So if there's a question you have that you are having trouble finding a straight answer to, you can send it to us. Justin and I have our emails printed in the paper in the staff box. You can message our Facebook page. Holler at us. Let us know what's going on, and we'll do our best to get an answer for you. We really want to make this a bridge between the outside world, between our community, and everybody that's having to stay indoors right now. So let us know what's going on. Keep us up to date, and we'll do our best to spread that message to everybody else. I know I want to hear from people. It's my favorite part of the day when I get an email or receive a message on social media from somebody here that has a heads up on something that's going on. So yeah, love to hear from you. And we plan to roll this out every week, so hopefully we can keep you all up to date.
So I just want to thank everybody for tuning in this week. Please keep your eyes and ears open for next Friday's podcast and the one after that, and maybe even the one after that. Hopefully we're going to have some special guests call in to the show soon too, so we can get an outside perspective. Obviously we're going to promote good practices here, so everybody's going to be calling in. I'm in my kitchen, Brianne's in her apartment. We are a little more than 6 feet apart, but 6 feet apart cast is just a little bit catchier than 1 mile apart cast. You know, 6 feet's all the rage these days. So with that said, like Bree said, please hit us up if you get any news, anything you want to share, anything you want to talk about with us, or something that we should probably be covering on the podcast, especially that good news. And on that note, Plant City, we'll catch you on the flip side.